Jesus. Never am I alone again in my life. Title of our lesson this morning is Still There's Room. And originally the title of the lesson was There's No Room. Because when our Savior came into the world, Satan thought he's going to win playing a game. Just think about it for a minute. I'm going to make sure that you don't get any glory, God, when you send your Son down to this earth. I'm going to make sure, and you know what? That's actually what God's plan all along. Because the glory is not in what is in this earth and the things that we have and what we know. The glory is in Him. But some of us prefer for Jesus to be the baby Jesus. You go call you Ricky Bobby this morning, okay? That's all you want, baby Jesus. Sweet baby Jesus. This time of year, obviously, we think about that. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. It's ironic, as Jesus comes into this world, there's no room for him in this world. No room at the inn for Jesus. But yet he says, I've prepared a feast, and there's still room. Still there's room. Satan wants us to think in our lives now and today, just like Jesus, he thought he'd won. Satan thought he had won. There's no room at the end. Jesus has to be born out in the straw and the hay and the manure. And that's what he wants us to feel like. That still there's no room in heaven for you. Still you can't achieve salvation. Still you can't follow Jesus. There's no room for you to do right. But Jesus said, still there is room. Harden not your heart. Just because the world doesn't have room for Jesus is no reason for us not to have room for Jesus in our heart. Jesus is always ready, waiting to wrap his arms around us and direct us in our decisions and in our lives and our daily lives. And the big tragedies and the big things that happen in our lives and are just little things as we get around in our daily lives. And in our passage it is written, certain man gave a great supper, invited many, and sent a servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are ready now. For all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. I call you brothers and friends and sisters because I love you. And if I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you this. But we too need to make sure that we heed the voice of Jesus and are going to his feast. And we don't make excuses. Because here's what's happened, folks. You know what? I think it's very unique that Jesus, why do we not want to participate and have Jesus in our lives? I'm busy, right? I'm too busy for Jesus. Well, what keeps us busy? What I own. I got a piece of property keeping me busy. Things I have I got to mow my lawn. I got to polish my car. I got to fix this. I have to fix that. I have a to-do list. See, I'm not even going to say honeydew, but I did, so that's okay. I've got oxen. And if I can't use the worldly things to make an excuse why not to follow Jesus, why not to be part of the kingdom of heaven, I'm going to be just like Adam. He tried it. My wife is the reason why I'm not following you, Jesus. My husband's the reason why I'm not following you, Jesus. I just want a little baby Jesus that I don't have to answer to, that I don't have to learn how to love and forgive, that I don't have to represent the kingdom of heaven, that I don't have to tell people about. It's easy to tell people about baby Jesus. It's tough to tell them about a Savior who loves them and cares for them. And that there's excuses that won't be accepted when it's time to fall on your knees and say, here I am, I'm ready to go. God's Holy Word has a power and the Holy Spirit works in us. That when we recognize we're making excuses to God the Father, let us remember this passage. There is still room. There is still room. There is still room for us to stop making excuses. And don't use other people's excuses. And here's the other thing. It's tough. But Brother DC did it. Brother Tom's doing it. There was multitudes of people that didn't want to come to Jesus. This feast is talking about him saying, here I am. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm open up the kingdom of heaven for you guys to follow. I'm going to explain God's love one last time. How you should live, how you treat others, and how to live forever. I'm opening up the doors to the kingdom. That his house may be filled. I could go down through a whole list of things, of excuses I've used in my life, why I haven't relied on Jesus, why I want to keep Jesus to be the baby Jesus instead of my Lord and Savior Jesus, instead of the Son of God, who has all power and authority that I have to answer to. We all struggle with not wanting a boss. I think we do, okay? I'm just going to give you an example this week. I got hauled into the office and told what I had not done correctly in the last 7 months that I've worked for a company. Here's what we don't like about you. Here's what you do wrong. Here's what you need to change. Right before Christmas and, you know, maybe Christmas thank you, even, you know. I guess that wasn't much of a thank you, but okay. I thought, you know, there's times in our lives, folks, when we gotta only relate to Jesus. Jesus did all he could do for us, and yet we want to make excuses. Why we don't share him, why we don't love him, why we don't follow him. Jesus is the most precious thing in our lives. Now, if I was going to ask you what's the most precious thing in your life, some people might look at a ring. I'm married. You may look next to you, my children, or your spouse, or your possessions. But I plead with us this morning, brothers and sisters and friends, that Jesus should be the most precious thing in our life. Because only he has the power to save us. Only he has the power to help us be all we can be and be the best we can be. And I tell you, and I know almost all the folks in here know your hearts, that you want to follow Jesus and be the best you can be. Compel them to come in. It's also written in Luke, "Now the multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first to consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So I'm going to follow Jesus and I can hate all of you people. You guys know I've been preaching some on not being a hater, okay? Of all people in the world, us people following Jesus, Christians should not be haters of anything. Let God's vengeance take care of things that aren't right in this world. But Jesus says, he who does not hate his father and mother. So what is he saying? Once again, Jesus is just saying, I need to be the most precious thing. I need to be number one. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, that the best employee I can be, the best supervisor I can be, the best husband I can be, the best grandfather I can be in my life is while I'm following Jesus, while he's working in my heart. And there is a cost to bearing that cross. You may not be able to joke and laugh with those people, okay, that joke and laugh about sin. And we have done that and we might do that again, but still there is room, even though we sin and make mistakes in our lives. God doesn't want all of our things. He wants our heart. But folks, I got brothers and sisters in Christ, and in my family, in my lifetime, I've seen use family for an excuse not to follow Jesus, not to come to worship service. If Jesus is first in your life, if you're putting him first, you'll be able to forsake all the things that keep you from following him. It's written in John, the first chapter, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, 'This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.'" I had a friend one time that I was working with ask me, and we were talking about the truth, you know, and I said, "Yeah, Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life." And he said, "What is the truth?" I said, "Jesus." That was my answer, Jesus. And he didn't believe that. We talked about it in Bible study this morning, folks. If you don't believe that this is a book of love and God's will for us and how he speaks to us today, that's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of understanding. And if someone doesn't believe that God's word, I've talked to people in the last year. Well, 40 men wrote that book. That's not God's word. Well, then how do we decide what's right and wrong if this isn't God's word? We gonna ask baby Jesus? No. We We need to ask the Lord and Savior who came and gave us grace and truth. But what happens, folks, if we decide on our own, okay, instead of using God's holy word to guide our hearts and minds and help us understand the right way to live and to live forever, we're going to decide, I don't like this part, I like this part. I don't even remember who got the newest car in here. How many of us have ever ordered a car? And you have a brand new car. Okay, Tony, I've ordered, this has been years ago. I'm too impatient to order a car. I hate to say it, I need to repent, I guess, but I'm too impatient to order a car. I'm ready to get a new vehicle. I want that shine and I want the tires to light up right now. I don't want to have to wait. I'm just kidding a little bit. Okay. There's a blessing in smelling burnt rubber. Some of you don't believe it, don't like that. Maybe I do. But folks, I ask us, when you sit down, start checking the boxes of what you want on a new vehicle. Those of you that have ever done it, those of you that might do it, okay, or think about doing it. Or when you're looking from when you run up to the window, that's not what I want on it. You run down to the next one, that's not what I want on it. That's a V6. I don't want a V6. I want a V8. That's not a four-wheel drive. Oh, that doesn't have, you know. We get to pick and choose so much in our lives. How many restaurants do we get to pick and choose from? Just today, if we're all going to eat in Frankfurt, there's plenty of places all of us could go, all, you know, probably to a different restaurant. Each family can go to a different restaurant. And then you've got the menus that are at the restaurants. All your choices. And then when God says, this is my will for you, this is the book of love, I want you to follow me, we say, well, I want a book of choices. That's not the exact build sheet that I was thinking I needed to have. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He came. We understand things that are right through him. And I plead with us when we're struggling in our lives to look unto him, because he has that grace that will help us and that truth that will direct our paths. It's also written again, the next day John stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, where are you staying? And he said, come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. I ask us this morning, brothers and sisters and friends, what do you seek? What do you seek when you follow Jesus, when you look for Jesus? Are you seeking just a baby Jesus in a manger that's so precious? Or do you seek a Savior that you have to answer to? Or a Redeemer who can clean you from all your sins, set you free, has the way, the truth, and the life that helps guide your spirit so you have some purpose, you have some contentment, you have love, peace, and joy in your life? Obviously, we talk about Simon Peter, okay, and how great he was and what he did, and we know what he did according to God's word, but what about his brother Andrew that brought him to Jesus, that brought him to Jesus? If I was to buy a new truck, it's not in my plans. Well, I'll just add, the last time I bought a new truck, Brother Tony, did we go out and look at it and walk around it? The last time you bought a new truck, and we did that, right? Well, I don't know. I've looked at, you know, if I see a new vehicle, I want to look at it. I appreciate it. I like it. They're neat. Now, if you invited me to your home, you had new stuff there, I'd do the same thing, but I just see stuff you have here, okay? It's one of the deals. We're excited about new things. Obviously, all of us are probably going to get some new things here in a couple days. It's exciting. It's good. It's fun. But I ask us to reflect also and recognize and be excited about our Savior, about Jesus. Tell somebody about Jesus. You'd be surprised how many people are asking and waiting for somebody to tell them about Jesus. They were waiting. We have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. Where are you staying? Where's Jesus at? I want to be there. We need to keep that spirit alive within us. I want to be where you are. Because what happens when we don't keep that spirit? We start making excuses, just like Jesus said. My land's more important. My things are more important. My family is more important. And your heart starts to harden against God's holy word working on you. To think more a little bit about Jesus and how great he is in our lives and what he has done for us and does for us too. Now may the Lord Jesus himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, giving thanks, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." I've read that passage, and actually we've even reviewed that passage in Mark chapter 10 and a few lessons a while back. I never noticed that the word says Jesus looked at him and loved him. When we look at one another and we look at our friends and our family and people that we see this week coming up, this next week, let's look at them and love them. Even though we see the things that are lacking, even though we need, but Jesus basically says, he loved him first, then he said, "Let me into your heart, put me first." And it's tough for me to tell my wife and kids, they're not here obviously, but to tell my wife and kids, love Jesus, put him first. And if I'm not doing that, folks, I got to lead by example. As a Christian first, as a husband first, as a father, or husband second, father, somewhere's in there. I don't want to, 1, 2, 3, I'm not making steps, but I'm just saying, folks, starts with me first. You ought to change that. I'm not going to talk to them until they do this. Say what? Take up your cross. Follow Jesus. Recognize you have treasures in heaven. Love them first. Then you can help them with what they're lacking. What a great story of our Savior coming to earth. Little baby Jesus in a manger. Came without anything and brought us everything. left us with eternal life, salvation, the way, the truth, and the life. I don't know about you folks, but I'd be a mess without Jesus. I know I would. I know I would. I know I'd probably be divorced, maybe multiple times. I'd have much more jobs than I've ever had. I would walk away from so many things in my life and give up if it hadn't been for Jesus directing my steps. And knowing from his example and the example of the apostles and disciples that they didn't give up. They didn't ever give up losing their faith. There is still room for each and every one of us to kneel at the Master's feet. There was no room for him at the end. Remember, if you don't feel like there's any room for you, folks, that's probably Satan. Very possibly Satan trying to tell you, not for me today, Jesus. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The things that we hold so dear. What do you seek? We have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. And he brought him to Jesus. One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come. Take up the cross and follow me. Jesus is still pleading with us. Still there's room. There will always be room for us to fall at his feet and put him first in our lives. If you haven't made Jesus your Lord and Savior, we plead with you to do that. If there's an issue in your life that you need help, prayers, anything, we invite you to make that right as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.